And as you heard, Republicans still hold a slim majority in the Arizona House as the current legislative session continues and candidates gear up for November. That 31-29 margin might make you think both parties will ultimately stay close to what their caucuses want. But in his latest Arizona Mirror column, political observer Chris Hurstam writes that six Democratic lawmakers are the focus of business lobbying groups. And Chris is with me to talk about his Monday musings on a Tuesday. Chris, you think the Democrats could actually become the majority in the state house after November?
I think it's very likely. All you have to do is use the less than 2 years ago track record of the 2018 November elections. The Democrats picked up four House seats. So that same kind of turning purple trend is going on in Arizona. I think Republican and Democratic political consultants agree to that. And it is just very likely that the Dems could pick up at least one seat. That's all they have to pick up if the caucus is united. If they pick up one seat and it's 30-30, then when they reorganize come January of 21, there could be a Democratic speaker, or they may have a Republican speaker and a Democratic appropriations chair. Some type of accommodation will have to be made for that split. And what happens is the Democrats then get a seat at the budget table to counteract a Republican governor or a still Republican Senate. And that is huge. So this has major political ramifications. And I think it's very likely that the Democrats in the House get at least one seat. If they can pick up two, then they actually take control of it if the caucus remains united.
Well, and that's a very important part of your column. Who are the Z's in the Democratic caucus?
The Z's are six individuals that I am aware of that all have Z's in their name. That's why they got the nickname. And they are being wooed by business lobbyists that are representing GPL, which is the Greater Phoenix Leadership CEOs, and the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. And they are being wooed right now to vote in a more centrist, if not conservative, way on business issues, on tax issues. But the ultimate safety net that the business community is trying to recruit from this group of six is enough of them so that if the Democrats take over the House in November, when they reorganize in January, that perhaps at least a couple of these Z's will reorganize with the Republicans and prevent any pickups, frankly, from the Democrats in the election.
Chris, when it's this close, when it's 31-29, what would the appeal be for the Z's, considering the Democrats could, as you speculated, could actually just take control by next year anyway?
The appeal is all self-serving to the Z's. First of all, they would get more campaign financial assistance in the 20 election and in the 22 election from the business community. So it's money in the campaign coffers. And then second of all, it's power that they, if they're going to help the Republicans maintain control, even if the Dems pick up enough seats, then they perhaps would get a premium chairmanship so that they would get something more personal out of it. I want to stop here, though, Steve, if you'll let me, and just make the point that the overwhelming majority, I mean, there are 29 Democrats in the House caucus. We're talking about six individuals that are being wooed by the business community. The overwhelming majority of the Democratic caucus has maintained their integrity. They still have very active, progressive agenda, and they're holding firm behind their leader, their minority leader, Fernandez. And so, in my opinion, the caucus still has the ability to basically tell the Z's, don't do this, stick with us. And this is not a done deal, is what I'm saying. But this is going on behind the scene. And all I try to do in my column is pull the curtain back and shine a light on what's going on.
Chris, you also spent a significant part of the column, frankly, criticizing business leaders, some of the bigger business leaders, and you compare them to how leaders would have handled this in the past. So it's not just focusing on the Z's, it's focusing on the other side as well.
Many leaders of the business community stood by and allowed Donald Trump to take over the party. They facilitated dangerous nationalistic rise, in my view, in our state in order to win elections. Many of the current business leaders chose to affiliate with the Kochs and Alec and the likes of Betsy DeVos and Russell Pierce. They basically turned their backs on, in my view, what was more of a centrist, apolitical stand that the business community used to take. And now when they see that the state is turning purple politically, and when they see that they're losing their grip, that the Republican Party is losing its grip, they're trying to create a safety net by picking off some Democrats and holding on to power as long as possible. As I say, Steve, I remember the old days when the Arizona business leaders were true corporate citizens of the past. People like Bill Jaquin and Jack Feaster and Bill Shover and Margaret Mullen and Bill Post, who stood up to John Birch Society's attempt to take over to the GOP, who fought land fraud along with Bruce Babbitt in the 80s, who did not cozy up to the corrupt Governor Evan Meekum, and who stayed relatively objective with regards to party politics. Now, these people weren't perfect, but I think they attempted to be stewards of a community that they called home. And I just don't see that in the business community, big corporate leadership of today. And I think it's having very negative consequences on politics in Arizona and therefore public policy setting in Arizona.
That is longtime political leader and commentator and many, many other things, Chris Hurston. We've been talking about his new column for the Arizona Mirror, his Monday musings on a Tuesday. Chris, thanks as always.
Great. See you next week, Steve.